The Volume.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay Authenticity Guarantee. Visit ebay.com for terms.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network, the Fox News Rundown, a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day, going far beyond the headlines, tapping into the massive reporting resources of Fox News to provide a full picture of the news of the day.
I'm Dana Perino.
I'm Brett Baer.
I'm Maria Bartiromo.
I'm Brian Kilmeade, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Follow the Fox News Rundown on Spotify today.
The J-Boy Show is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to bet all the action than on FanDuel Sportsbook during the football season. There's many reasons why I like using it. I mean, betting on the NFL, they're America's number one sportsbook. It's easy to use, it's safe and secure, but I love the fast payouts. I'm huge on that, and you get it as quick as 2 hours. That's tough to find and even harder to beat. The convenience of it, you know, that there's a lot going on. There's a lot of games, whether it's live betting, whether it's betting before the games, you know, the spread, or you're taking the overs, the unders. They make it unbelievably easy to use. And the boosts, the odds, the specials that they run are unbelievable. You get risk-free bets and same-game parlays. You get enhanced odd markets and a ton more. It's just a win-win for everybody. And if you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now and sign up with the promo code JBOY. That's J-B-O-Y. Let them know that I sent you. 21 and older and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona. 1-888-789-QUADRUPLE-7 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut. 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Virginia. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789 or visit www.1800gambler.net in West Virginia.
Live from the College Football Hall of Fame, welcome to the J-Boy Show on The Volume. Presented by FanDuel and hosted by Jake Crane.
This is Roman Harper.
This is Derek Stingley Jr.
This is David Pollack, and you're watching the J-Boy Show.
And you're watching the J-Boy Show.
And thanks for watching the J-Boy Show.
All right, everybody, thanks for joining us on the J-Boy Show today. Obviously pre-recorded, had a function that we had to attend that we committed to, and we keep our word around here. But still, throw your comments underneath. We're going to take some of them and answer them on Thursday's show as well. So we appreciate you guys joining us. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. Turn on the notifications. We're growing like a weed. Keep the miracle grow outs inside. Don't bring it out. We appreciate y'all joining us. Shout out to the Booster Club, the greatest grassroots movement since jazz.
That's one. It's probably my favorite one. That's probably my favorite one to say. Mm. The greatest grassroots movement since jazz, because it's just improv. We're just going. You know what I'm saying? We got an idea of where we want to go with it, but we just go.
Well, you do enjoy an occasion Yaz flute.
A little Yaz flute.
I'm really
nothing
not
wrong
prepared.
With that. Yeah, I'm really not prepared at all. Hold on, let me pull the Yaz flute out. All right, I want to start today's show. And this is a great. This is such a great debate for me because again, two things can be true at once. You can have logical and rational thoughts on both sides. For some reason, society today, we don't think that. It's either going to be one way's right and one way's wrong. There can't be any logical or rational both-sided arguments when it comes to this. But who will have more success over the next 5 years? Georgia or Alabama? Here's the way that I look at it. And I am not the type to bet against Nick Saban. But when I'm scanning for the next 5 years, and I think what's going to happen Saturday with Georgia and Alabama is going to happen, with Georgia getting over that hump against Alabama, no pun intended, well, kind of intended, I've got to go Georgia. You know, Nick eventually is going to retire. Will it be another 5 years? Wouldn't surprise me. If he went 6 or he went 7, it wouldn't surprise me. But eventually, Nick is on his way out, unless they hook him up to the robot like we've talked about, Sabertron 3000. You never know. Elon Musk doing a lot of interesting things. Bezos, those billionaires, you never know. But Kirby's really just getting cooking. Kirby has turned Georgia into the monster that it is, a team that I am looking at to win the national championship that I've said during the spring, during the fall, or spring to the summer, during the fall. And I look at the way they're recruiting, and somebody has got to take the mantle when Saban leaves. Because I'll give you a hint. The transition of power is never as easy as it seems when you're on top. Look at midterms in the elections. You win the election, then get destroyed in the midterms. The transition is never as easy when you're at the top. Georgia's climbing to get to the top. And the hardest part that Nick Saban's having to deal with is staying at the top. Keeping everybody at the top. Every dynasty falls. The Ming dynasty. The Patriots. Go back through history. Every dynasty falls. There's always somebody making that next power grab. Georgia looks a lot like old school Alabama when they were just destroying people each year. This year, they're starting to look like that team. We know they have the athletes. We know they have the personnel. But Kirby is an unbelievable coach, like Coach Saban is. Dan Lanning is an unbelievable DC, like Kirby Smart was for Coach Saban. Kirby is building it the way that Saban built it. And he's looking to take over the mantle. What's the one mountain he has got to get over? They've climbed Kilimanjaro. Hell, they've climbed Vesuvius, dodging the lava. But they haven't climbed Everest yet. Saturday, they get to climb Everest. Mm-hmm. And once you get to the top and you stick that flag in the ground, you know you can do it. Then you chase the replication. And Kirby Smart's a good enough recruiter. Georgia's a good enough place. They'll always be able to hire great, great coaches. They'll always have great talent in-state and around. Georgia's here to stay because Kirby Smart's staying at Georgia. Stability. 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 What do we not see in the college game right now? A lot of we see coaches going, excuse me, from one place to the other, one brand name to the other. Kirby Smart's not going anywhere. He has built the machine. Reminds me of that movie when they're in Bletchley Park trying to decipher the German codes in World War II, and finally they build the machine that can decipher the codes. You just let the machine work now. Not that you don't still try hard and this, that, and the other. But when Kirby and them walk into a high school with that logo, deal's almost done. It's a business decision. Not saying that Alabama isn't. Not saying that Alabama's not going to continue to be really good. But over the next 5 years, Kirby's going to become the mantle holder in the best conference, in the best region, for college football in the country. So when I'm looking 5 years down the road, Nick Saban, swan song on his way out. Unbelievable career. Greatest of all time. GOAT. Well, guess what? Kirby Smart. That was his Obi-Wan. Nick Saban was Kirby's Obi-Wan. And now you look around the rest of the conference. You got Anakin over there at A&M trying to build his. Went to the dark side. We thought Lincoln Riley was going to be Heath Ledger. Turns out he's Harvey Dent. Went out west. College football is, look, Georgia wins it this year like I think they're going to. I'm telling you guys, Georgia is about to take over. You want to know why? Because they can. That's why when I look at Brian Kelly taking that job in the SEC at LSU, I respect it. I look at Brian Harsin taking that job at Auburn, I respect it because they know. It's not a hidden secret. They know Georgia's next up. And I'll have a bunch of A&M fans, a bunch of Alabama fans that are pissed off because A&M's trying to climb the mountain too. But y'all haven't, and I know you beat Alabama in the regular season, but when it comes down to postseason stuff, and I know Georgia hasn't won the Natty since 1980, but they've been closer than anybody else, really, that hasn't won it. All it takes is one. What is it on Little Giants? 9 times out of 10, team destroys us. But that one time, you always remember that one time. And that one time starts Saturday. And then you turn that one time into 2 times. You give Kirby Smart that ammo. You give Kirby Smart the we beat Bama bullet in the championship game. It's like hitting a werewolf with a silver bullet. Going down like a sweet muffin. Nick Saban on his way out eventually. Because again, guys, time is time. He's not Benjamin Button. I'm sorry. He's not getting younger. Eventually Saban will be gone. Kirby is next up. But the biggest question is, who does Bama bring in after that? I still say it's Mario Cristobal, but even if it's Mario, I don't think he's going to replicate what Nick Saban's done. I don't think anybody will replicate what Nick Saban has been able to do, but Georgia's going to get damn close. They're going to get close. They've got, it checks every box. Every box. And you're in the East. And I know Tennessee's coming up, but Georgia's not worried about that. Ran through them like a wet paper bag. Kentucky doing a lot better. Georgia's not. Stunting that. Georgia's going to run the East. Florida hiring Billy Napier? Great. It's going to take time. And good for Billy Napier. You want to talk about a guy that's not afraid? Florida's right next door. That's a rivalry game. Billy's not scared, but Billy knows. He knows the battle. So over the next 5 years, give me Georgia. Because I think Kirby, to quote a very smart man on a very popular TV show, I think he just figured out Blue's Clues.
Well, originally we were throwing around who has the higher ceiling, right? And the obvious answer has to be Georgia because Alabama sort of hit that ceiling. When you've won a national title every other year, basically for a decade, you've kind of hit that ceiling. Then it's, okay, well, who's going to have more success over the next 5 years? I still think you would be a smart man to say Georgia, but here's what I'm saying. You said it earlier. Nick Saban is the greatest coach of all time, right? Okay. And I remember 5, 6, 7 years ago, right, whenever Tom Brady would run out and he'd throw that first interception of the season, Max Kellerman and the crew, everyone wanted to be the first to say, Tom Brady's done. Tom Brady's finished, right? Well, he's proven it so much that everyone's kind of quieted down. You know why? Because you don't make money betting against the best. Nick Saban's not going to go away quietly. So no. I think that Georgia is a safe bet here to say with what Kirby has built because, like you said, Kirby Smart's not going anywhere, and this dynasty is just at the precipice of his creation. But the best don't go away quietly. And
it's
I don't think Nick Saban has had his last say yet.
Yeah, Alabama has sat in their castle. They've looked over all the land. All of a sudden, Kirby brought his army up. It's a siege. They're shooting, firing boulders at the castle. Yeah. How long can the castle stand?
He's brought his army before. He's brought his army a couple
times.
That's
true.
And what happened?
Not this army.
Protect the princess.
He didn't go to the volcanoes at Mordor and bring a senior Jordan Davis.
Jordan Davises aren't just walking around. You know what I'm saying? They're just walking around. I can't bet.
I don't know. You've seen Bear Alexander?
Yeah, but still, you can't replicate Jordan Davis.
I don't know. You've seen Bear Alexander?
As big as he is, as fast as
he is.
He's
as big as Jordan Davis as he's in high school.
Do you think he's going to be better than Jordan Davis?
Probably.
Well, if they have that, then congrats, but I'm not betting it's Nick Saban. Maybe the 5 years after the next 5 years.
So you got winning Saturday?
I would say Georgia.
But I thought you weren't betting against Nick Saban.
One have six national champs, and Kirby Smart's 0-3 versus Nick Saban, so he beats him one time, and then, it's Georgia.
But you said you'd never bet against Nick Saban. They're playing Saturday. Well, you said Georgia'd win.
He said next 5 years, correct?
So next 5 years, you're taking Bama to win more natties than Georgia.
I'm taking Bama, yes. When Nick Saban retires, Kirby Smart, it's your time.
Hey, and like we just said, they're just only 10 months off winning a national championship and going undefeated and having a
Heisman. Look.
Programs should not reload this quickly. It's not normal.
You said it about Ohio State. Don't get this twisted.
Yes.
This is a high-class problem that we're talking about right now.
And Ohio State and Alabama have the most high-class. And Georgia's about to be in that tier, too.
This isn't a Texas Tech or West Virginia. Who you got over the next 5 years? This is the two.
You said about LSU. Georgia fans are about to be like what you said against LSU fans. They're about to get a little taste, and they're going to want it every year.
That's what I'm saying. Sippeth from the cuppeth. and you don't want another. That's what I'm saying. The first time, like, they drank water back in the days, the first time they drank wine, somebody's like, get that water shit out of here. Excuse my language. Like, that's terrible. We'll just drink that. But, you know, you said something. Nick Saban is the greatest coach of all time. I agree. I don't think it'll be replicated. But what goes up,
I know,
must come down.
But they don't go away quietly.
Who's the greatest president of all
time? They don't go away
quietly. People would say who? Abe Lincoln? George Washington?
He's coming on the show.
Yeah, which we reach out to Abe Lincoln. We're going to find out if he's coming on. Abe Lincoln, that's great, but they died like a long time ago.
But they don't go away quietly.
They don't.
Nick Saban's not going away quietly.
No, he won't go away quietly, but Nick Saban said something that I respect and got a world of respect for Nick Saban. But he said something that I thought really rang true. He said, they asked him, when are you going to retire? When I feel like I'm not as effective as I can be. We've seen guys linger, Joe Pa and all these other guys. I think legitimately when Nick Saban says, you know what? I've done all I can do. I'm not as effective as I have been for a multitude of reasons. I think he's the type because he loves the players. He holds himself to a higher standard than anybody. And if he feels like he's not performing, how could he ask that of his players to operate and do the routine stuff and that amount of time and that amount of sacrifice? Nick Saban's that type of guy. I mean, you saw him the other day in the coach's show. He's a player's coach. Mm-hmm. You want to know why? Because the players play. And I think it's different betting on Nick Saban than it is Tom Brady. Because at the end of the day, Tom Brady is going to affect the game way more than Nick Saban is. Tom Brady affects the game way more than Bill Belichick does because he's out there throwing it.
Yeah, Tom Brady's a coach that is playing.
Yeah, Tom Brady is Jackie Moon on steroids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when we make those comparisons, I would rather make the Belichick-Saban comparison than compare coaches and players just because I know what you're saying.
For the analogy is
just, hey, I know what you're saying.
Count, you're not supposed to play quarterback in the NFL until you're 45. No, you're really not supposed to make it to 35.
If it's an age
everyone
thing,
wanted to be the first. No, he threw an interception this year. He's done.
Yeah. Well, you know, Peyton tried, but they were putting his neck back together with silly.
Hey, Tiger Woods, he's done. We got him another Masters. Roger Federer got him another one. You know what I mean? Like, when we're talking about the greatest of all time, they don't go away quietly.
No, and look, it's a great argument, and like I said, for everybody that's freaking out, there's logical and rational
and they'll
ideas,
both be fine.
And yes, what I'm saying. This is a high-class problem.
It might be a 2-3 like national championship goes either way.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
this is the Rocky versus Apollo.
For sure.
I mean, this isn't, Johnny Redstone's fighting, Tommy Ticklefeet down the street.
This isn't David versus Goliath. This is Goliath versus Goliath.
That's exactly right.
That'd be fun.
Hey, Godzilla versus King Kong. We can do this all day.
Absolutely.
I will literally do this all day. So again, I'm saying Georgia. Are you saying Bama, Cone?
Yes, put me on that one.
Okay, Blaine?
Of course, give me Saban.
Oh, good. I love dying on hills alone. Psych, I'm still alive. All right, speaking of still alive, Auburn, offensive coordinator change. Mm-hmm. A lot of names being thrown around, players being in the portal. Bo Nix, is he coming? Is he going? How does Mike Bobo affect that? And is Derek Mason safe? Or is he trying to blend into the wall and hide every time Brian Harsin walks by him after firing Mike Bobo? Justin Hokanson, Auburn Live 3. He's going to talk about it with us next. All right, excited to bring in the guy who broke the story about Auburn offensive coordinator Mike Bobo not returning. Justin Hokanson from Auburn Live does a great job over there. If you follow Auburn, you need to make sure you're subscribed. That's the best site to do it with our buddy Jay Lee and Cole Pinkston over there. Hoke, I appreciate you coming on, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So just off the rip, how surprised were you that Auburn moved on from Mike Bobo?
Not surprised. I mean, obviously, anytime there's a change at coordinator, there's like a level of, they actually did it. But not surprised. I mean, we were talking about Bobo. I mean, in September on our board, we were talking about maybe Bobo only being there 1 year because, we were hearing just personality fit. It wasn't great. Those talks sort of died down, I think, as Auburn played well in the middle of the season. Auburn was doing some good things on offense. Kind of died down a little bit, but then four straight losses and you score, I think, 15 points in the last five games in the second half total. And so that's not acceptable for Harsin and them. And so not surprised that he's gone. I think what this shows you is, and it may sound, when I say it, you're going to be like, well, of course. Brian Harsin and that staff want to win right now. And you might be like, well, of course they do. Well, what I mean is when you start a program, generally you've got a little bit of a honeymoon period. You can build it. You can, you know, you've got a little bit of leeway, like go 6-6 first year. It's, you know, Auburn's a little different, but I mean, Harsin and them are just, they're just not, they're trying to build it, but they're trying to win right now at the same time. And they're just not going to, whether it was the receiver coach being let go four games in or Bobo. I mean, they've got an offensive lineman commit that's the son of Mike Bobo. And basically Harsin's like, if it costs us him, it costs us him. Like, who cares? So they're just they're trying to win right now, man. They're trying to make decisions and pull the trigger and make them quick. And you maybe didn't see that under Gus, and maybe Gus couldn't have. But things are a little bit different right now with Harsin to be able to just pull the plug that quickly.
Yeah, and, you know, Mike Bobo is not a very creative offensive coordinator. He's kind of like the journeyman pitcher in the Major League Baseball that, you know, he throws 90, you know, got some good off speed. He's a guy you got to sign late to eat a couple innings. That's kind of been him. They need to bring in a guy, in my opinion, that, you know, and we'll talk about candidates and should it be an older guy, should it be a younger guy, a guy with some innovativeness. When you're not able, it's easy when you're at Georgia and you can just run straight through people and it opens up the play action, or the way Bama used to do it when you just roll over people and the boot, nobody covers the crosser. Auburn couldn't do that. He had to find ways to be able to score against good defenses outside of the realm of the normal bread and butter, and outside of, you know, a fake toss counter and stuff like that, he really is not able to reach down in the bag. You go back to the Penn State game, you know, when offensively they weren't very good. The Georgia game, and again, nobody's been great against Georgia, but it seems to be in the biggest games when they played against a defense that was worth their salt, and a little bit of that is personnel. He wasn't able to outthink the other side enough to score enough points to win. Go back to the LSU game. It's not like they scored 45 points. I mean, Bo Nix had to pull a Willy Wonka / Houdini to be able to score touchdowns. So, to me, I think it was a good move. My question to you, Hoke, is, you know, Derek Mason, how safe is he?
That's a good question. At the moment, I couldn't tell you. I think he was on the hot. Like I said, Bobo and Derek Mason would be on the hot seat. I told our people that, and I thought they deserved to be. You know, I thought they were like okay at times, and there were times when they weren't, and they probably
deserved Hoke, my thing is this. Here's what worries me, okay, about Derek Mason. Gary Danielson said it during the game. He went to Derek Mason before and said, "Are you going to rush three this game?" And Derek Mason laughed at him and was like, "No, we can't do that anymore. If it took this long for you to figure that out, that isn't that's not trying to go steal the Declaration of Independence or find out, you know, how black holes are created or whatever. That is a very easy thing that very casual fans can look at and know." And I'm starting to worry if Derek Mason, I wonder, Hoke, and look, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, anything like that. I don't think he called a majority of that game in the Iron Bowl. I don't. It looked so different than what we've seen before. And I was told by a few people that that could have been the case. And I don't want to sit here and make this a bash Derek Mason fest. But if you don't know that rushing three isn't the answer after 9 games, I can't help you, and you shouldn't be in charge of the defense. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I don't disagree with a lot of what you said. And I had heard that about, you know, maybe more involvement, you know, from other people other than Mason calling the defense, whether it was Jeff Schmetting or whoever. Mm. And so, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, there was definitely, I mean, the casual fan could see, look, the second half of that Mississippi State game and just the lack of adjustments was mind-blowing. And so I don't know, you know, I think Derek Mason's a really good recruiter and Harsin needs those. And so I could see potentially, given how the Iron Bowl went, I could see Mason kind of saving his job per se and getting another year, because I do think he's a good leader and a good recruiter. And I think Harsin needs that.
Yeah. But, well, know, they call those Bobo position coaches. That's what they call those.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know, you know, right now if a change is going to be made there. I get the feeling that he may have saved his job. We'll just have to wait and see, because they need to rebuild that defense too. I mean, there's a lot of positions there to get, and I wonder how involved Derek Mason is with some of those guys like Curtis Perry and others. I mean, you saw some of the offensive recruits all said, "We're staying." Holden Griner, Damari Alston, the offensive kids that are committed pretty much have all like immediately were like, "No, we're good." So it kind of makes me wonder, like, you know, from a recruiting aspect, was there just kind of Bobo was like, there was nothing to bring there. Whereas maybe, Mason's got that in his bag to give him another year. I don't know.
No, that's a good thought. That's an angle I really haven't explored that much. But all right, let's talk about candidates for this OC job, and then I want to talk about Bo Nix and some guys getting in the portal. Yeah. Who are a few names off? I mean, we've heard Zach Hill, we've heard Matt Wells. You can look in the NFL. Just kind of off the top of your head, who are a few guys that Auburn fans need to be looking out for?
Those are definitely two, and we have those up at auburnlive.com, and I'm sure other places. Those are pretty obvious. Seems like those would make sense, right? Like Zach Hill spent time with Brian Hartson. Mm-hmm. Matt Wells was an offensive coordinator at Utah State and has head coaching experience and was just let go at Texas Tech. So, like, I think both of those would probably be good hires. I think it's important for Brian Hartson in the way he wants to run a program. I mean, think about what I just said about – we heard early on that there was not a great mesh between Bobo, Friend, and Hartson. Now, I don't know if Will Friend's going to stick around. That could depend on the OC.
Well, he's been with Bobo for, it seems like, his entire career. It seems right. Like where Bobo goes, he goes. So, he's a friend of Bobo. On, see what I did there?
Yeah, so early on we heard about this fit issue. So I would focus on that, too, in the fact that Harson's going to need to get somebody in there where the fit. Think about Cornelius Williams getting let go, and who gets promoted? Eric Kesaw, who's been with Brian Hartson. So I think that's an important part too, which is why maybe you hear Zach Hill. And the way Hartson runs that program, man, you got to be on the same page as him. There's standards, there's a level of expectations, and he's just not playing around. And you got to be on that same wavelength as him, or it might not work. And so I think that's going to be really important. You talked about maybe a young NFL. Think about Joe Brady and coming in. That could be as well. I would imagine he would go after somebody in college first, and then maybe if that doesn't work for whatever reason, go after an up-and-comer type OC. But it needs to be somebody that meshes with what Hartson wants to do offensively, but also is with the vision and with the program.
Yeah, and again, you know, I'll press on this point. Brian Hartson is interviewing these guys. So you got to know how to hire guys that are going to do what you want to do. And I don't doubt that. It's not like this is Brian Harsin's first head coaching gig. He knows how to interview guys. But you can see with Cornelius, now with Bobo, we don't know if there's going to be other staff changes, that you've got to hit on the right guys, and you've got to be able to be thorough in the interview process. And they've got to know that. You've got to make that known to them that you're coming into this ship. I'm the captain of this ship. I'm not going to put you in the brig, but you're also not going to be the one steering the steering wheel. So it's kind of that balance in between. Hoke, I had Bo Nix on yesterday. Really good interview with him. He talked about his love for Auburn, how, you know, nobody, he wants Auburn to do better than anybody. I mean, he's a guy that grew up in it. You know, his dad, Patrick Nix. Now with Bobo leaving, what are your odds that Bo Nix is a quarterback at Auburn next year? Because we saw the TJ Finley experiment, and it wasn't great.
Yeah, it wasn't great. Demetrius Davis, who's a freshman, looks like he's going to stay at Auburn. And so you've got that guy that looks like he's leaving. Odds on Bo Nix. I'm not sure I would go as far as to say 50-50. I would probably still lean that he comes back, but I don't know that I would go 70-30 that he comes back either. You know, maybe 65-35, 60-40 would make me feel comfortable. I think Bo's got some decisions to make. I mean, the college football landscape with the transfer portal and NIL has changed a lot since he arrived at Auburn. So there's businesses decisions to make there, right? You've got a dad who is very smart, who's the head coach in high school football and knows the lay of the land, and so there's some dynamics there that it's not just as simple as like just stay. I mean, there's a lot they're thinking through all the different angles. Mm-hmm. Whether that's, I can't imagine turning pro. Like, I mean, would, you know, he's got enough talent, he may end up on a roster or get a shot, but I can't imagine that's a really great opportunity. I think transferring, you know, is certainly in the door's open, which that would be shocking, right? To see Mr. Auburn Bo Nix transfer to another school, mm-hmm, would be just odd. But
2021 in a nutshell, really.
Yeah, and we told our board, look, he's gotten a lot of criticism in his time at Auburn, and from what I understand, that is playing a part here in not just him, but his family and his dad wanting him to be in the best situation for him. And if it's not Auburn, where he's just going to get lambasted every single time he does something wrong, can Bo be at the best he can be under those circumstances? Does he need to just get out of Auburn? Is it too much? I think that's things they're thinking about right now versus coming back for one more year under what would be His fourth OC in 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, you look, a lot of people that were calling for T.J. Finley to replace Bo Nix, you know, early in the season, are the people that just continually bash Bo Nix are eating a Thanksgiving size portion of crow right now, and they're probably the same people begging him to stay. Last question, we got Justin Hokanson here from Auburn Live. That's the On3 affiliate. Make sure you head over there. Sean Shivers in the portal. Caleb Johnson in the portal. How many more players do you think will end up in the portal for Auburn? I feel like I just missed somebody.
Elijah Canyon.
Elijah Canyon. God, man, that guy looked good in the bowl game against Northwestern. Guess he just couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, he had that catch, remember? I think there will be a few more. There will be a few more. And I told our board like a couple weeks ago, because I knew this was coming. I said, look, guys, there will be transfers. I was like, it's going to happen. In this day and age, you need to rewire your brain on how you look at transfers. Mm-hmm. Now, if Bo or Tank, that you could look at that a little differently. But if guys transfer, you got to take a step back, especially in your first year under Brian Harsin. There are going to be guys leave, and I wouldn't really freak out about it too much. None of those guys, Canyon didn't play. Caleb Johnson was in trouble all the time. Sean Shivers played some, but then as the season went on, his minutes went down. I could see Auburn losing another receiver, you know, maybe somebody like Xavion Capers, who didn't play much. I don't know. I don't know for sure, but that's like a guy that would come to mind as talented, maybe didn't have the season he wanted. And I'm sure there will be others. I think it's also key, though, who can Auburn bring back? Can a couple of these seniors take another year? Can Owen Papo come back? You know, that would really help them. That would really help them as well. So, but I'm not too concerned about who leaves Auburn from the transfer portal, because it's Brian Harsin's first year. And if they leave, I have to think, outside of Tank, right? Nobody would want Tank to leave. But I would have to think that Brian Harsin and them probably – are not like worried about, they probably made decisions. They knew we're not going to play him. Guy's probably going to transfer. Oh, well, and I don't, that's just the reality of the situation. So outside of big time guys, I'm not that concerned if guys transfer. He needs to get the players in there to build his program. And if those guys aren't them, then they're not them. That's just how it is.
Yeah. Well, Hoke, man, I appreciate it. Great stuff as usual. We're going to bring you back on monitoring this situation as it kind of unfolds, man. I appreciate it. Everybody head over to Auburn Live. That's the On3 site. They do a heck of a job over there. Got great message boards, great setup. Hoke, I appreciate it, buddy. Conference championship games are here, and if you've never bet on college football before, there's never been a better time to give FanDuel Sportsbook a shot, because right now you can place your first bet risk-free. That's right. You'll get up to $1,000 back if you don't win. FanDuel gives you so many bets to choose from. There are a ton of player props, promos, and so much more. I've got a parlay for you this championship week. I got a four-legger. Give me Utah money line, Kent State money line, Wake Forest money line, and give me Georgia money line. And offers like this are just one of the many reasons that I love betting on betting college football on FanDuel. They're the number one rated sportsbook app in America. It's easy to use, it's safe and secure, and the payouts are faster than Tyreek Hill when he hits the seam. This app is so easy to use, and when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 2 hours. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Sign up with the promo code JBOY, that's J-B-O-Y, to bet college football risk-free up to $1,000 on FanDuel Sportsbook. Download FanDuel today. That's promo code JBOY. 21 and older and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-QUADRUPLE-7, or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-GAMBLER, or visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Virginia, 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. The Tennessee Red Line's 1-800-889-9789, or visit www.1800gambler.net in West Virginia. All right, we always appreciate Hoke stopping by. Some good information there. Going to keep tabs on that search as it goes around the multi-prong coaching carousel, if you want to call it. To quote somebody on social media, it's more like those teapots when you're hanging on the edge going in a circle. It's starting to go so fast. But another great debate that I want to have is we always talk about which job's better, this, that, and the other. I want to talk about something different with Lincoln Riley and Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly going to LSU, Lincoln Riley going to USC. Who has a better chance to win bigger faster? And it's a loaded question. To me, I look at the path that's the easiest. And I am going under the assumption, and I know it's bad to assume, my mom told me the same thing that your mom told you, or your dad, or your auntie, grandma, grandpa, or whoever the hell helped raise you told you. We know what assuming makes you. But I'm assuming we're going to a 12-team playoff. I think that's going to happen. I think you're going to get the Power 5 conference championship winners automatically in, and you'll get that group of five, the 12 plus one, the alternate plus one, whatever they call it. I look at the path that Lincoln Riley has to go through early to be able to have success. Not that Brian Kelly can't flip LSU really quick, HGTV style, flip this house. We're the twin guys that are on every show. But Lincoln Riley, when you look, when you land and you look at the landscape, let's play that game. Let's play some Sims. Lincoln Riley's looking around the landscape of the Pac-12 and college football. The only time you're going to have to see an SEC team is in the playoff, national championship, whatever. Pac-12, got to worry about Oregon and Mario Cristobal. Blank check from Phil Knight. We know what they're building over there. Utah, Kyle Whittingham, always going to have a tough team. You're going to have to earn it. UCLA, if they find a quarterback and Chip's able to get that offense in rhythm, kind of get that program going. I know he's not the best recruiter in the world. Outside of that, who else is there? Who else is there? Oregon State? Cal? I like the DeBoer hire at Washington. It's going to take him some time. So if I'd make the same argument for Clemson in the ACC. I'm looking around saying, well, we're looking still like one of the prettiest girls at the dance. And USC is out there. It can be its own shining beacon on the hill out on the West Coast. They've lost a ton of players from California to Alabama, to Georgia, to the SEC, to the Big Ten. You keep a few of those guys home, like we've already seen Lincoln Riley, who had California guys going to Oklahoma. You can build it quicker there. The competition's not as tough. And what is that city like? All you need is a little bit of magic. It's a front-running town. USC's good, they'll show up. USC's bad, it looks like what it looked like against BYU. It's just process of elimination. It's just looking around and reading the room. It's obviously an easier path, and it's not like the committee looks down upon USC. College football knows they need USC. As a college football purist, I want USC to be good. I want UCLA to be good. I want Oregon to be good. I want the Pac-12 to be good. But they're not. They're not. And I think Lincoln has an easier path. Now, if you're Brian Kelly, you land on your planet, you know, Matthew McConaughey style, look around. I look to my right. I got Nick Saban, Bama. Look at what Ole Miss is doing. Lane's still there. Brian Hartson at Auburn, who knows? A&M with Jimbo, even though they just built him, you know he's building it. They just got another five-star yesterday. It's like a damn astrology class at College Station right now. There's so many stars. So, it's just which is the harder fight. That's why I give Brian Kelly more respect for taking the LSU job than I did Lincoln Riley, but that doesn't mean I don't think USC has a better path to the playoff out there, and that's probably one of the biggest reasons why Lincoln Riley made the decision. That and like Coach Siski said, he's got unlimited hours on the plane. Hell, he could take the plane to McDonald's. And with that traffic, you probably have to.
In and out, please.
Yeah, excuse me. Okay, you're right. Huh. Forgive me, for I have sinned. But it's just simple math to me. USC's got an easier path. And they'll be healthier when they get to the playoff. Now, does that mean when they get to the playoff, they won't be beaten to smithereens by the first SEC team they play? No.
Like Oklahoma?
But in the Pac-12, getting there is good enough, fellas. Getting there is good enough. You don't have to know how to boogie. You just got to go to the dance. At LSU, you better go to the dance, and you better know how to break dance. You better look like John Travolta or Patrick Swayze out there. And it better happen quick. If it doesn't happen early for Lincoln Riley, everybody at USC is not going to freak out. If it doesn't happen early for Brian Kelly at LSU, regardless, LSU fans are going to freak out. So I don't know how the answer to this is not Lincoln Riley. Who has a better chance to get off to a faster start?
Yeah, for sure.
It's got to be, right?
Yeah, I mean, let me be specific here. I think Lincoln Riley can win more quicker at
win more quicker. I love that one.
Win more more quickly than Brian Kelly. But when I say, I mean, I think that Lincoln Riley can win his conference before Brian Kelly can win his division, right? Just because, like you were saying, so quickly.
Right.
I think Lincoln Riley can make a 4-team playoff out at USC quicker than Brian Kelly can. I think Brian Kelly can win a national championship quicker than Lincoln Riley can at USC. That's why I'm trying to be specific.
On the head.
Because Lincoln Riley and Brian Kelly both had a similar problem at their previous institutions, right? We can make the 4-team playoff at the institutions we're at, which puts us ahead of 90% of the schools in this country. But we're not at places where we can go win the semifinal game, make the final, and win the national championship. Lincoln Riley went to a program that still has that same problem, right?
And now Brian Kelly did not.
Brian Kelly did not. He solved that problem. So I think, yeah, like you said, Lincoln Riley can win quicker in terms of winning his conference and making a playoff, but he's still going to run into the same problem that he had at Oklahoma, I believe. Could he go Pete Carroll? Could they get Will Ferrell on the sideline? It's like you said, you know, USC's doing good. Will Ferrell will be there. Matt Leiner will be there. Reggie Bush will be there. When they're doing bad, see you at the Lakers game,
yeah,
right? And LSU, I think that Brian Kelly could win a national championship quicker. Right.
Yeah.
Even if he doesn't make the playoff before Lincoln Riley, and even if he doesn't win his division faster than Lincoln Riley can actually go win his conference.
Yeah. Well, the thing to me, it's almost like in baseball. You have the one hitter that's really consistent, doesn't hit a lot of home runs. If he hits a home run, you're shocked. But the guy can hit doubles and triples and he'll hit 320. Brian Kelly's kind of like Jorge Soler. I'm swinging as hard as I can, and eventually I'm going to run into one.
Mm-hmm.
And when I run into one, it's not getting to the playoff. I'm getting to the playoff and winning the whole thing. I'm hitting the ball over the train tracks in Houston. Now, I'm not saying Brian Kelly won't have consistent success at LSU. But look, USC fans right now would love 9-3. Would love 9-3. LSU fans would be like, the last three coaches have won national championships at LSU. The standard's set, fellas. Like, the standard's set. That's not changing. But I am with you. I think Lincoln Riley can get there quicker, but I think Brian Kelly has a better chance to win it quicker. But that's the difference. At USC right now, I don't think they're just getting there. Look, let's go out there and have a party. We win, great. But look at those guys. They're huge. That's just the way I feel it. The way I feel it is.
You know, I'm trying to find a logical argument on the other side of this, to be honest. But I think a couple little caveats here to me when it comes to Lincoln Riley. I think Lincoln Riley needs to do something good early, and I think he needs to make a great defensive coordinator hire unless he's bringing the guy from Oklahoma.
How the Grinch stole Christmas.
Thank you to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the 2024 Colin Cowherd draft coverage. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it. Panini America is also breaking new ground in NIL, featuring some of the biggest names in college sports, like all-time NCAA scoring leader Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and many of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round picks. If you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net with some of the first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. Check out the most popular trading card brands like Prizm, Select, Donruss, and more. For those NFL draft fans, get real-time trading cards after players are picked with Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Colin Cowherd draft coverage.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant, just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you, something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Hey guys, this is Matt Jones, Drew Franklin from the Fade This podcast. We got a great episode coming up, picks in all the sports, football, basketball, we do them all, but here's a preview of this week's episode. Do you think it's more embarrassing to dye your hair or to have hair plugs?
I don't think either are embarrassing if you're not trying to conceal it and act like you didn't.
Okay, so you think if you just come out and go, I got hair plugs.
Yeah, like check out these hair. I mean, don't just walk around. Hey, tapping. Hey, stranger. I don't want you thinking this is natural. You know, but I mean,
do you have to do that with everyone you meet?
Some people try to act like they. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean, like John Cena got him. You know, when John Cena came back to wrestling, he had a bald spot, and now he doesn't. Mm-hmm. You think he should be required in all interviews to say, "Look, by the way, I covered up my bald spot."
Yeah, I guess it's weird. I mean, you don't wear a sign or like put a sign in your yard, but.
All right. So, what about toupees?
Those are the most obvious.
But let's say you're like Bill Self and you can get it to where it looks good.
His is magical. I don't even know if his is a toupee.
It is.
I think he went into the future and had a procedure we haven't even discovered yet.
And this episode was brought to you in partnership with DraftKings. To hear more, listen and subscribe to Fade This on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yeah, that's one. It's been kind of his Achilles heel. Is he's great at offense, but his defense has never been good and never been able to win.
But you don't have to have a great defense in the Pac-12.
He has to have a somewhat of a defense, right? And another thing about USC is if they're going to do it, he needs everything to get better around him. Facilities, just for the athletes and everything in California, because the state of LSU – Louisiana is behind LSU.
Oh, no, you said it right. The state of LSU.
Yeah, they're behind LSU, right?
This episode is brought to you by Death on the Nile, exclusively in theaters Friday. The greatest detective of all time, Hercule Poirot, returns to solve another deadly case. Join Poirot on a wild ride down the Nile River, promising luxury, intrigue, and murder. Grab your friends and get ready to solve this murder mystery on the big screen. Starring Kenneth Branagh and Gal Gadot. Premiering only in theaters Friday.
This episode is brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Introducing DirecTV Stream, the best of live TV and on demand, which means you can get all your favorite sports, movies, and shows together. So you can watch new episodes of your favorite reality shows live or binge old episodes on demand. Either way, get ready for some drama. And the best part? DirecTV Stream has no annual contract. DirecTV Stream. Get your TV together at DirecTV.com. Requires high-speed internet and compatible device. Content varies by package and location. Restrictions apply.
California is a what kind of state? It's pro state.
Yeah, it's pro. LA's a pro
from
town.
From a team that hasn't been relevant since 2004. Yeah. All right, 2004. So a 9-3 at USC, they better be astounded. With a 9-3, because right now you're not close. You're not close. And you think Lincoln Riley's just going to automatically come in here in the first year and scoop up all these guys, because the guys coming from California are going to the South and doing what? Winning.
Championships.
Winning championships. Yeah. And people see that in the South's always only what? Getting bigger and better and stronger. And Lincoln, you Grinch better show up on defense, right? So you have an average couple of years, because Brian Kelly can walk into LSU and win the national championship the first year he's there. I don't care. That ground is that fruitful to win there. It is.
I mean, you're not crazy.
It is. And Brian Kelly can do what? Recruit where? Up front, right? Up front. So I understand it. Will it be easier to win the Pac-12 just because of the level of competition? Yeah, that's fine. I understand that. But Brian Kelly was bringing the LSU his structure on both sides of the football, and Lincoln Riley needs to hit on defense. He wants to do something in the Pac-12.
Well, I think Lincoln Riley, like you said, or excuse me, Brian Kelly is bringing organizational skills. Mm.
CEO.
CEO, but he's also, you know, very involved schematically offensively. Brian Kelly is a great mind offensively. But, you know, we can't get hung up on the old school way of thinking about flipping programs. With the transfer portal now, I mean, it's free agency. You got the 32 intake rule. Mm-hmm. You can flip the script so quickly, and there's a few places in the country, 7 to 10 probably, that have the ability with the cachet, with the brand name, with the blue bloodness, that people know. I walk into a high school in Alabama, and I say, who are the USC Trojans? Those high school players know who that is. It's still fresh enough in high school kids' minds. They know that USC, Reggie Bush, and Matt Leinart, they understand that. They don't remember, you know, O.J. Simpson and all of them back then. They remember the Pete Carroll and how cool it was and Snoop Dogg and them on the sidelines. So you're at the very end of that rope. Can Lincoln Riley make that fresh and sexy again? At USC, you can. You can. And not only can you, but you can be the shining beacon on the West Coast. UCLA's not doing it. Utah, that's great. Chair State with BYU. You know, you look at Oregon, that's great. But they're not in love head over heels with football the way that people are at LSU and stuff like that. USC could represent California, be the juggernaut in California, a big state that produces a ton of talent, even though it's been exported a lot to the South lately. You can flip that place quick.
He could go be the West Coast Clemson. Right,
you could.
Be the
That's
best
a great
answer.
Way to put it.
Be the best answer outside the SEC that doesn't have to go toe to toe every single week in the West. And if he goes full Pete Carroll, I'm telling you, I played against one of those Pete Carroll teams in the Rose Bowl, and they ran us. Okay, with Brian Cushion and the boys, Silver Fox running up and down the sideline, coolest thing. I'm like, man, they're having fun.
Yeah,
you
remember that on the
side?
Pete Carroll's like, I had to watch him. Snoop Dogg's over there freestyling
to the
DBs before they go
out. They're the West Coast. They're the West Coast Clemson. They could be a problem, man.
And you don't go to USC and be a disciplinarian.
Sure.
That doesn't work.
It doesn't work like that.
That doesn't work.
But you better have something because you don't want to get Reggie Bushed again.
Yeah, well, that's true. Well, and you better be able to tackle somebody. That's the other thing.
No, USC was kind of NLI-ing before NLI-ing.
NIL-ing before.
I mean, you know, so I don't think anybody can really replicate what Pete Carroll did.
All right, so I got Lincoln, you got Lincoln, you got Brian.
Give me Brian.
Well, if we're talking about win more, quicker. That's
yes.
what I needed to say,
there
comma.
You go.
Okay, or are we saying are we just talking about national championships?
No,
if that's the case,
to me, it's who can get there quicker, but that's why I like your point. If we're arguing who can get there quicker, it's Lincoln Riley, in my opinion, especially go to 12. But if we're arguing who can win it quicker, because getting there and winning it are two
way
totally
different
ask
things.
Ask Brian Kelly. Yeah. Did it at Notre Dame. Ask Lincoln Riley. Yeah. They did it at Oklahoma.
Michigan may find that out this year.
Lincoln Riley just left a room with the same ceiling to go to another room with the exact same ceiling, and Brian Kelly's looking up after leaving a team with a ceiling he overachieved and now is looking up with no ceiling.
Well, I think it's you know, that's this is a great Wayne album, by the way, No Ceilings. But, I think there's multiple ways you can look at it, but I'm going with Lincoln Riley. And again, it's just going to be fascinating to see. But you know what else is going to be fascinating to see?
JB?
The SEC championship game this weekend. Mm. And we got Jordan Battle starting safety from Alabama. I ask him, is Georgia a rival? I think you'll like what he says. All right, a big week coming off a big weekend, a big win in the Iron Bowl. As usual, we are joined by Alabama standout DB, safety, nickel. Dude could play corner, probably play receiver. You watch him dance after he scores, you think he played the receiver in his life. Mr. Jordan Battle. Jordan, what's up, man?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Man, I'm doing good. Every time I bring you on here, it's after another win, man. Y'all got it cooking.
Yeah, we heating up right now.
Big one this week. Just, you know, going back and watching the tape of the Iron Bowl, Jordan, and I watched it. I didn't have the wide and tight like you, you know, the great stuff you guys got with the calls up there and everything like that. But going back and looking at it, you guys obviously a hell of a performance on defense. You know, just talk to me about that game a little bit because it was a fist fight from the start to the beginning, or to the end. But that's what the Iron Bowl is.
Yeah, I think it started in practice. I think we had a great practice week. A great preparation week. We knew coming into the game that it was going to be a tough fight. We knew that Auburn was going to throw everything at us offensively, and we knew we had to stop the run in order to win the game, and that's what we did.
Now, Jordan, and again, you know, people get hurt. It's part of the game. But as a defensive guy, and then, you know, I coach defense, so I know how it goes. When you see a guy that may be a little beat up, you know, whether it's Matt Corral that's beat up for Ole Miss going into a game, you see T.J. Finley turn his ankle like that, and you know he can't run. I mean, like a shark, you got to smell blood in the water, right?
Well, yeah, of course, of course.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
We didn't try to change the game plan, you know, just because you were hurt. It was the same. We just stuck to the plan and kept attacking. And as you can see, we had a career high in tackles for loss that game too.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you guys able to stop the run and stop Tank, and you know, when you don't have balance, you fall off the beam on offense most times. How can you guys use the momentum from that Iron Bowl, Jordan? Because now you know y'all going to have to put together a hell of a defensive effort against Georgia as well. You know, like I said, another week, another big-time battle.
Yeah, like last week, we have to have a great mental focus this week, great practices, give all our energy. So it translates to the game. We know Georgia's going to be a tough opponent. They are always a tough opponent. So we just have to, you know, basically take what we did last week and build on it.
Jordan, do you guys see Georgia as a rivalry game now? I mean, you look back. I mean, it's turning into what is, you know, the battle of the Titans in the SEC. It was Bama LSU for a while. Now it's you guys in Georgia, Coach Smart, Coach Saban. Obviously, Coach Smart coming from the Saban tree. Seems like that tree grows by the day. Do you see Georgia as a rival?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Georgia is definitely a rivalry game. The fans love to see Alabama versus Georgia, and they know it's going to be exciting every time we play against each other.
Definitely. And, you know, Jordan, as well, you know, when you look at Georgia and you look at the style that they play, it's kind of similar to a lot y'all have seen during the season, whether it's A&M a little bit, you know, running to open the pass. What are a few things you guys have to do on defense to be successful this weekend?
Like last week, we have to stop the run. Everybody have to get to the ball, all 11 hats. We know they have three good tight ends they use. The freshman, number 19, number 0. Number 86, and we know they have a great diversity and of backs. They have a scat back, they have receiving backs, they have backs that can do it all. They're very balanced, and they have speed on the perimeter at the receiver position. So we just have to, you know, be able to contain the run, you know, make them one-dimensional like we should do to every team, and, you know, just build on that.
Yeah, make them dribble with their left, as they say. Jordan, last question, man. I'm going to help us win the water cooler here. You know what's funny? I'm sitting around about 15 people, you know, watching the Iron Bowl, and you rarely get penalties. Face mask, got called for a face mask. And some people are like, why? How do you grab the face mask? How does that happen? Explain to people how fast you're going, and you're not actually reaching for the face mask. It just happens to be there when you go to grab. I always laugh when people are like, how can you do that? Why would you ever do that? Like, you really don't understand how fast this is going.
Yeah, I feel like it just sometimes it just happens. Well, most of the it time does. It just happens. It gets in the way. Your running back's trying to finish a run. He puts his head down, and your hand is coming across. Your arm is coming across, and you grab it, try to wrap him up, but you end up grabbing the face mask instead of grabbing some other part of his body, his waist or his hip. So I feel like it really comes from when the runner, you know, drops his head, and you put your hand on the face mask by accident. Yeah.
And you know, Jordan, they let the runners drop their heads. It's amazing. They can drop their heads on whatever they want. Crown of the helmet, side of the helmet, doesn't matter. That's a story for another day. I'm not going to ask you to opine on that, but you know where I stand on it. I got a good feeling I know where you stand on it. But, all right, I know I said that was the last question. I got one more for you. What does this game mean to you Saturday in Atlanta with a chance to not only win and get in the playoff, but be an SEC champion as a leader on this team?
Yeah, this game means a lot. This will be the second year in a row that we made it to the SEC championship. I remember how I felt last year, and it was a great feeling. And seeing that confetti come down and Coach smiling with the trophy in his hand, I just feel like that's something everybody should be able to experience, and I feel like this team will want to experience that. So this is a big moment for us.
All right, man. Well, you know, you're right next door to the show. You want to hop over here in the Hall of Fame and come to the studio, man. You always got an open invite. You know that.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, we'll see what Coach Saban says about that. I'm sure he wouldn't care. No, I'm just kidding. All right, Jordan, appreciate you, buddy. All right, we really appreciate Jordan Battle stopping by. Have loved to have him on all year. He's been fantastic. I thought he put it best. You know, these guys are competitive, and everybody, I'm sure, is going to watch Jordan flying around. Funny about the face mask, because it just happens so much faster. Everybody around is like, why would he do that? Why would you? Like, he did it on purpose. Like, he made it so, you know what? You broke a tackle, I'm grabbing your face mask, because I'm just, I just want to.
I always thought they grabbed mine on purpose.
But you've heard of great award shows. You know, I say great. It kind of sucked now, but yeah. Like the Grammys.
What's that?
The CMAs, the Dundies. Well, we want to give out our own SEC awards. Now, the first two are pretty generic. I think you guys, will be, I agree. Maybe you disagree, but you can see it. Then the next three are three that we came up with. First one, pretty generic. SEC Coach of the Year? It's got to be Kirby Smart. It's got to be. Going undefeated. Now, look. You can make an argument, Shane Beamer.
Yes, sir.
You can make an argument. But again, the man went undefeated. They haven't won a national championship since 1980, and it's looking like it's the year, and you did it with a backup quarterback, a lot of your offensive players injured throughout, and you're still having to climb that mountain, climb Everest, like we talked about. So SEC Coach of the Year, to me, is Kirby Smart. It's just the truth. Sam Pittman would be a great candidate. If we had, a sub-Coach of the Year, you're not undefeated award, it'd be Sam Pittman at Arkansas. But he may win another award.
He might find his way in there.
He may find his way in there. All right. Well, first off, who would you pick, Cone? Because I made these picks. Would you go with Kirby?
Kirby Smart, man. He's about to do something for this state and for this fan base. I'm telling you, I grew up around him, man. He's about to do something for them, I really think, something special. Mm. 40 years, man. 40 years. I mean, he's been on fire.
Yeah, I think this state got what it needed when the Braves won it. Give me Shane Beamer.
You went six.
That was good.
You went six and six in the SEC your first year with a GA at quarterback. Come on, man.
Is he pulling a James Franklin over there?
It might be the best coaching job ever.
No, I don't know. James Franklin went in two games.
That's true.
All right, that was legit.
That was legit. SEC Coach of the Year, Kirby Smart. All right, that takes us to SEC Player of the Year. Same team, Jordan Davis. Give him the Heisman. I don't know why we don't do it. I don't understand it. The guy is the most dominant player to me. You have to game plan everything around him, and it still doesn't help. The man can literally take away the run game by himself, and he can pass rush. He's not, Terrence Cody was great because down said Hutt, rah, 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 going forward, he can push you back. Jordan Davis is, quick, can change direction, unbelievably fast, and he's huge. And he's going to be an unbelievable player in the NFL. Unbelievable. When they're going to put him, they may put him at the three. It's just some NFL DC, it's going to be like a kid in the candy store. So give me Jordan Davis. What say you?
Man, that's a good pick. I'll go Will Anderson.
Okay.
Or maybe we split him and we say Jordan Anderson wins.
Jordan
it.
Anderson. There we go. That's a good way to put it. Blaine, what about you? Is it Shane Beamer?
I wish. No, I'd go Jordan Davis. What he does for that defensive line for Georgia, I mean, he literally blocks up every gap. He literally almost blocks up every gap for that team. That's why N'Kobe Dean is just running around having the time of his life, making all the tackles.
Nobody's had more fun than N'Kobe Dean.
I just think Jordan Davis is, out of those two, the hardest person to replace.
Yeah.
I just think he is.
No, I agree. And again, that's the minutia. Will's been unbelievable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pass rushing, he's versatile, he can drop. But, I mean, I think Jordan Davis could drop. I think Jordan Davis could drop and play a low hole zone and actually not be too bad. I watched him run down Tyler Johnson, the UAB quarterback, and Tyler's not Usain Bolt, but he's not slow.
Yeah, I played with Tyler in high school. He's not slow.
No,
he's
not
slow. He texts me after that game and says that still haunts his nightmares.
That's the boogeyman checks under his bed for Jordan Davis. All right, our On the Best Track Award. This was so hard to pick between A&M and Arkansas, but I feel like the rebuild job at Arkansas was so much harder than A&M. I think A&M's on a great track with Jimbo Fisher. Shout out our buddies at Texags, Billy Lucci. But I got to go Sam Pittman. Arkansas probably had the hardest schedule in the country. You can say Arkansas, you can say Auburn. And you get eight wins? Year two? What, did they get a combined eight wins like the 4 years before? Chad Morrison couldn't win an inter-squad game. But the way they're recruiting, Arkansas is back. I'm not like Texas back, I'm telling you. Arkansas is back, and they're a problem. And they're only going to get better and better and better because they believe in Sam Pittman. When Sam Pittman believes in them, and he knows who they are, and they know who he is, and that's all you need. That's all you need. If I'm going to ask you to go run into another full-grown adult for 60 minutes, I better trust you and I better love you. And they trust him, and they love him. And he loves them back. Maybe the best fit in all of college football, honestly, in my opinion. They're on a great track. If you're an Arkansas fan, I mean, y'all are cooking with grease right now. Y'all are cooking with grease.
I love Sam Pittman. I love Arkansas, but I'm going Jimbo Fisher.
I'm
going
A&M. Here.
Look, I think they've underperformed this season. Sam Pittman and Arkansas overperformed this season. But Jimbo is going to finish as one of the top recruiting classes in the country. And I think they are going to use that win over Alabama and fuel them for the next 2, 3, 4 seasons. Give me Jimbo Fisher. I think he's going to be a problem here pretty soon.
Blaine Azium, what do you
say?
Give
me my boy Shane Beamer.
Yeah, I mean.
I mean, look.
They're six and six. On the right track. And he's also doing what? This guy is recruiting.
Yeah.
He is recruiting. They might have a top 15 class. Like, come on, guys. Maybe he's bringing it back South Carolina to the Spurrier days when they were winning, when they were beating who? Bama.
Clemson.
And Clemson. They can do that. If you can go 6-6 with a GA at quarterback, I'm going to see what you can do when your player's getting here.
Yeah, I want to see what you do when they have, you know, guys that weren't getting coffee for the coaches a week before the game. Like, hey, can you send Zeb to my office for a minute? But no, I think there's good arguments on all sides of that. All right, the Jackie Moon Award.
It's my favorite award.
The coach slash player award.
It's my favorite.
There's only one guy that can win this.
I was gonna say, don't kick it to me.
There's only one guy that can win. Zeb Nolan, baby.
Let's go,
Zeb Nolan, or as he's known around campus, Zoltan. Defied all odds.
He walks around in bubble wrap.
Defied all odds to be the quarterback and did not do a bad job. He was better than a lot of quarterbacks around the country, but they asked him to go from GA to quarterback. He better hit that Peloton pretty quick, fam. But again, in something we've never seen, you know, we remember when Bobby Boucher went to SCLSU and then Michigan tried to do the towel boy.
Saw how that worked
when he went across the middle.
Didn't work.
Destroyed. But the Jackie Moon Coach Player Award. Zeb Nolan,
gotta be Zeb.
Congratulations. Be checking the mail. We're going to send you a trophy.
Unanimous.
How should the trophy look? Should it be just like one of those gold people? He's got like a coaching binder here.
Jackie Moon bending down and shooting a free throw granny style
He's in the throwing motion but with a clipboard.
Yes, that's right. That's it 100%. He's in the throwing motion with a helmet on but with a clipboard. He's calling the play as he's running the play.
Yes.
The Jackie Moon Award first ever.
Mr. Do-It-All.
And that moves us to our last award.
Also unanimous.
Also unbelievably unanimous. The Ugly Duckling Award. Congrats, Vanderbilt. You're the only non-bowl eligible SEC team. Don't y'all just want to go somewhere else, though? I feel like y'all would have such a great time
somewhere else. Sun Belt.
You won't be singing that tune come baseball season, golf season. They bring a lot to the table.
Look,
academic standards holding up there.
Congrats. You're great at canoeing.
You're really good at
It's great. Look, they're great for baseball. But the whole SEC's good in baseball.
Yeah, Mississippi State just won it.
If the Vandy left, it would like the SEC would fall off the earth in baseball, and they haven't exactly been lighting it up in basketball. I remember when Vandy had Kevin Stallings, and it was a nightmare going there. They had, like, Luke Kornet, who was 8'4", shooting threes.
You really want to let Stanford win the chess championship every single year?
Well, listen, they can have it.
Okay.
They can have it.
It's time
for you guys to go.
Because
you're getting paid way too much money to not do anything.
You're making all of us look dumb.
Yeah. It's like I said, they're the person that is part of your family that nobody wants to invite. Or the family gets there and like your family game is like Pictionary or whatever. And like nobody wants to pick him because he's just terrible at it. That's what Vandy is. But you have to invite them because they're part of the family.
Vandy's that guy who just screams out all the little accomplishments they do at dinner and Thanksgiving. It's like, well, you know, he got in the he's a lawyer. He's going to be in law school. But like, well, you know, Tim just – he's on JV track.
It's time. I'd rather have Memphis.
With everything that's changing, whether teams leaving their conference
just go, guys.
Ryan Seymour's a good friend of mine.
Vanderbilt has been some great times. Great times. But you know what? Sometimes the great times have to end.
You're right.
And you guys really are just, you're the ugly duckling.
I don't want to hear from you.
And then people will say, oh, well, the ugly duckling grew to be a beautiful duck. Well, in the AAC, you can be a decent-looking duck. Hell, you go to the MAC, you'll look like Gordon Bombay.
You want to talk about an easier way to the playoffs?
Yeah.
Let's really talk about it, Vandy.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear from y'all.
But I would like to formally put forth a notion. If it can be heard, there's no objections.
I second that
notion. For Vanderbilt to quietly, get the hell out of the SEC. At least in football. You know what? Take football out. That happens. We see that around. You got Syracuse in 9 different conferences. Syracuse like the Siamese twin of NCAA. Yeah.
I don't want to hear from Jake when Stanford wins 6 chess championships in a row. He's like, man, we got to put a stop to this.
Like, well, you know, Vandy just hired Bobby Fischer. They were searching for him. Turns out they found him. Then they hired him. So the Ugly Duckling Award goes to Vanderbilt. Again, sorry, guys. I mean, how do you lose to East Tennessee State and then go beat Colorado State? I don't get it.
I know why. It's because I bet Colorado State.
That's exactly right.
The third leg of a parlay.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You know what? That's what I'd do. I'd wait and just take your third leg of parlays and put all the money on the opposite.
Yeah. The third
I'd be rich. Maybe that's the trick.
Show me a pie chart because I want to see the third leg because it never hits.
Yeah. Let me see the pie chart. All right. We appreciate you guys. Make sure you subscribe to the Volume YouTube channel. Hit the notification button. We're back live tomorrow. Like I said, we're at a function right now. We're actually breaking the space-time continuum because we did this yesterday. I don't know how we're doing that. Like Frank Caliendo with John Gruden. He's like, we're breaking the space-time continuum, man. This coach is
Jake
clicker,
Cranium,
man.
Jake
Cranium, man. But no, we appreciate you guys. Got a great show for you tomorrow. Appreciate Jordan Battle, Justin Hokanson. We're going to try and keep track of all the craziness. You know where to find us live, 3 to 4 Eastern, on the Volume YouTube channel. And like our pre-recorded show today, but our live one tomorrow, we're going gone.
The J-Boy Show is produced by David Cohn, associate producer Blaine Crane, audio engineer Faison Sharif, executive producers Jake Crane, Vince Thompson, Steve Chamberlain, and David Cohn, voiceover announcer Mark Aston. Please subscribe to The Volume on YouTube, where you can catch us live weekdays at 3 p.m. Win the water cooler with The J-Boy Show.
The Volume.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at CedarPoint.com.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Are you spending more time in your basement now that it's your rec room, office, kids' playroom, or home gym? Well, you need to ventilate those spaces to remove stagnant, musty air. For over 20 years, the Easy Breathe ventilation system exchanges dirty, damp air for cleaner, drier, healthier air. Take charge of your indoor air with your own Easy Breathe ventilation system. You can get it installed, or DIY kits are available. Just call 866-822-7328 or visit takechargeofyourair.com and receive 20% off today.